Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so oftentimes when our kids go off to high school and then they go off to college, and it can kind of be a barren world out there, and you're wondering, how in the world are you going to get your kid to stay involved and follow the Lord and be a part of the kingdom? And oftentimes we just kind of struggle and think, well, it's just church on Sunday, or it's Bible study on Wednesday night and supper if you go to a Southern Baptist church. But God has actually put a lot of things in place out there, a lot of ministries that engage directly with students right where they're at, actually on campus. I didn't know anything about Fellowship of Christian Athletes when I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina in 1997. Didn't know anything about it. And then as I started to get involved with the Christian community here, I kept hearing FCA, FCA, FCA. And I still, what is this thing? Now, I was an athlete when I was in high school. I was not when I went to college. But FCA, even though it's called Fellowship of Christian Athletes, there's a lot more going on there than just that. But here in this market, I've met so many people that their lives literally were changed eternally because of the work of FCA in local high schools. And they're not just here in Raleigh, North Carolina, all over the country, in fact, all over the world. So today we're going to learn a lot more about Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Yes, there's more going on today than just the election. So Jay Vavirka is here, and Jay is with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Triangle Metro Area Director with FCA here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it was, at first I was like, should I do this show on Tuesday, November 6th? And then I'm like, well, yeah, because elections come and go, and they're temporal. But the lives of individuals, and especially young people, are eternal. And so to me, it was a no-brainer to have you on. But anyway, it's great to see you. Great to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on, Steve. It's good to be here.
You're welcome. So we'll talk about how you ended up in FCA, but let's talk about FCA kind of in general first, the history of it, and what exactly is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
Yeah, thank you. So in 1954, a guy named Bob McLennan said, you know what? I see all these sports stars on TV, they're selling cars. At that time, they were selling cigarettes. And he thought, well, if they're using their influence to sell these things, why can't we leverage that influence to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so he approached several folks, including a gentleman named Branch Rickey. A lot of folks know that name, about starting this Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so for the last 64 years now, we've been reaching out at the middle school, high school, and collegiate level to athletes and coaches to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And our hope is to see the world transformed by Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. So we're trying to do that locally.
And we're going to hear from Willie Robertson. Yes, that Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He's going to call in and be part of the show in the second segment. And the Robertson family actually has some background and some history with FCA. And Willie's dad, I forgot this, was actually the quarterback back in his college days. He was the quarterback ahead of Terry Bradshaw. So you're talking about with FCA. And oftentimes, listen, when we watch music awards or we watch the Academy, we're always waiting. We're always hoping that there's going to be some big star out there that starts talking about Jesus Christ. And we tend to look at it just as that. But FCA, this stuff's been going on for decades, where people that have that platform then use it for the gospel.
Yeah, and a lot of times folks don't see what they're doing on the ground, right? They just hear that 3-second snippet after the game, I want to give glory to God. And a lot of people sort of write that off as, oh, they're just throwing that out there because they won. Where we see them all during the week living out their faith in really practical ways, loving the Lord and being an example for those that watch them. So we see that as a huge part of what we do, is that influence piece.
And if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina, coming up on Tuesday, November 20th, 6:30 p.m. on the NC State Fairgrounds at the Expo Building is when FCA's got their big annual banquet, and Willie Robertson's going to come in and be speaking there, and we'll hear from Willie in the next segment. But what happens on a local level, Jay? Down on the ground, engaging these students at various levels, what does FCA do practically?
Yeah, so most folks know us for our on-campus ministry. So at your local middle school, high school, or college, there's likely a group of students that gather maybe once a week, maybe once a month, called an FCA huddle. And they meet to pray and to read God's word and to encourage each other and to be a light on their campus. We really see that as an outpost of the local church on a local campus. We're calling these students to own their faith and to live out their faith before their peers. We're calling these coaches to coach in a way that reflects their faith in Christ. They're not They're not a coach first. They're a Christian first.
Yeah.
So we're challenging them to live out their faith in that arena of sport. And so on your local campus, you're going to see those groups.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm watching some of our friends on Facebook Live right now. And if you want to join us on Facebook Live, regardless of where you live, and not everybody listens to the show live, but if you want to, it's always 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. You're probably looking at Facebook already. So just look in the search box. Just put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and you can join us in the studio. Two of my friends, Dave Jones, who does FCA with hockey, he's already watching. And then this was wild. Paul Mears is a friend of mine. He said, go, Steve, go. My dad helped start the FCA chapter in Raleigh when he was at NCSU in the 40s. Do you mean like the 1940s, Paul? Has it been around that long?
It's probably not the 40s. It's probably the 70s.
Yeah,
because that's when Johnny Evans was there, and it really got launched there with Moose Morris was the first area director here locally.
And then how widespread is FCA in America?
We're in, I think, 45 or 46 of the 50 states in America, and then we're in over 60 countries worldwide.
And so what – because, like I said earlier, I've always heard these stories and FCA reaching out to kids in schools and people that I know that have been saved when they were young going to FCA events. Why do you think it works? What's different about FCA that on campus God has given so much blessing to that, to see them working in the lives of these kids? Because there's huddles and there's all that kind of personal interaction.
Yeah, I think part of it is that we give it away. The part of what they have to do on a local campus is the students have to lead it and initiate it, right? So we give it to the students and we're training them and we're coaching them and we're encouraging them and we're pointing them to the scriptures, and then they're taking it and they're running with it and they're the ones that are reaching out to their peers. And I think God has just given us favor with that. I think a lot of times when we look at giving something like that away to a middle schooler or to a high schooler, I have no idea what's about to happen.
Spiritual suicide, right?
And yet God time after time shows that He's bigger than us, and He's better than us, and He just does His work through these students and these coaches in ways that we can never imagine.
Now, how did you get involved? Because we're broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary that's here in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and you graduate. You came to school here. At Southeastern.
Graduated.
So how did you end up? How did you end up at FCA?
Well, I was a high school golfer up in New Jersey and won a scholarship. Actually, didn't win a scholarship, but got sent down to a FCA golf camp. One of the things that FCA does is that we do camps across the country and across the world. And I got sent to an FCA golf camp.
Did you get saved in high school?
Yep.
In New Jersey?
No, at golf camp in Southern Pines, North Carolina.
I was going to say, because nobody gets saved in New Jersey.
No, they had to ship me out of New Jersey to hear the gospel so I could believe in Jesus.
Everybody
and
relax.
Then go back to New Jersey.
Got it. Okay, so we'll find out some more about that. We'll talk some more about what's going to happen here in Raleigh. Tuesday, November 20th, 6:30 p.m. at the Expo Building, which is at the NC State Fairgrounds. Jay will tell us more about that. Viverka, he's going to give out a phone number, so if you want to come be a part of that. Actually, if you want to write it down, it's 919-848-4646. 919-848-4646. When we come back, Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Today, talking to Jay Viverka, who's with FCA, Triangle Metro Area Director here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Somebody that is definitely not in Raleigh, North Carolina, but will be in Raleigh, North Carolina in just a couple of weeks, is somebody that I think, if you don't know who Willie Robertson is, you might as well just, I think you should renounce your citizenship. I think you should move to France, where they probably know who Willie Robertson is. And I might even have a chance to question whether you're a follower of Christ or not. But Willie's calling in, and he's joining us today. Hey, Willie Robertson, how are you, man? Thanks for calling.
What's going on? Or maybe just move to California.
Which is kind of the same thing as France. Is that what you're implying?
You don't have to go all the way to Europe. So.
No. Well, we're off to a good start already. Anyway, thanks for calling in, Willie. I can't imagine how busy you are. And Jay Viverka is with us. You'll meet Jay, and you'll probably meet me, too, in a couple of weeks when you're here in Raleigh. Now, a lot of people don't know, for the Robertson family, we think of you guys as, of course, Duck Dynasty and Duck Commander. But there's a serious sports background in your life, especially with your dad. So tell us about how kind of sports has played a role in the Duck Dynasty world, as well as with your dad, and then we'll pull some FCA in here.
Yeah, from what I hear, I wasn't around, but from what I hear, he's a good athlete. Played quarterback at Louisiana Tech, and he was gifted in a lot of sports. He was All-State in baseball and javelin, obviously, because he could throw, and then football. And, they're really poor, and so that was a way for him to get out of being poor and get an education paid for. And, as the story goes, Bradshaw was his doctor at Louisiana Tech. And so I don't know how good he was, but I guess if he started ahead of the the ultimate number one draft pick in 1970, you're probably pretty good. So, but he just didn't really have the passion for it. And I've asked him about it, you know, here and there, and he says, you know, he never had the jock mentality, and he just wanted to get his education and go chase the Ducks, and Bradshaw chased the Bucks, and it all turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the chasing the Ducks turned out okay for your dad and the rest of your family. So what's it been like for you, Willie? I mean, we all know you from the show and from the fabulous success of that. But in terms of being a Christ follower and then all of a sudden you have this, it started with Duck Commander, obviously, but then once the TV show came along, and FCA is a big part of this, using successful athletes to kind of leverage, and you talk about this too, leveraging that platform for the cause of Christ. What was that like for you? Because that was obviously had to be kind of challenging, because you were on regular kind of secular TV, yet you're all followers of Christ.
Well, and I think we like that. We like that being in that spot, you know. I think a lot of Christians, you know, you can always find venues for, especially among Christians, a lot of times you can have those venues. But to be able to be in that environment, which, you know, Jesus seemed to be in those environments a lot, you know, where it wasn't around maybe who you thought he'd be around, but, you know, as an outreach, you know, is being able to get in there and be around people maybe that need to hear about that. And that was the perfect venue, I think, to expose that in a little way. You know, I remember Phil used to say, well, we need to be preaching more on the show. And I said, Dad, this is not the 700 Club. That's the other Robertson. This is the, you know, we're just giving them a little bit. And if they want to know more, you know, they can look or come see a speak or something, and then we can get more in depth. But the show was really just designed, you know, it was a funny family show. It was clean, and you could watch and laugh, and it wasn't, you know, super heavy. And but it did end with a prayer on every episode. And, you know, the thing is, when we put the prayer at the end, we didn't even really think of it as a big thing. For us, it was just a natural, normal thing. It wasn't like we were making this giant statement. But it was awesome how that resonated and really, you know, got into people's homes. And then the more you think about it, you know, it wasn't just all the homes in, you know, America. That's all over the world. You know, the show was going. And, you know, it's inviting, you know, you invite a show into your living room. It's pretty personal, you know. And so there you are doing that. So we got lots of comments and still do about people who now, you know, say a prayer and try to eat together more. And just simple things, you know, that we grew up doing that can really help your family and help you stay together. So, it was great, you know, and we were able to, you know, use that platform and still doing that. You know, Sadie's got her tour right now, Liberal News, and she speaks to all over the country.
Yeah,
and,
she's all over the place.
The followers, yeah, so she's really used that. And my son John lives up at Liberty University, so yeah, they've been able to carry that on and, you know, to use those platforms as well as the rest of us have with our books and speaking and things that we do. But, you know, but we're still just really local people. You know, I think we're the same people. You know, I was at the grocery store actually just an hour or two ago, and the lady says, y'all are just so down home, you know. And I said, yeah, we're still the same grocery store. And that kind of helped us, you know, because we didn't have to move off. So
right. We
were able to stay in the hometown, you know, same places, same church, I mean, same school, you know. But
yeah,
that all stayed together. And we did it as a family, so it was a big group of us. So it wasn't just
that's awesome.
One. You know, I always say, most of my famous friends, it's usually that's the only person that's famous, whether they're a musician, an athlete, or whatever they are, they became famous. And so what happens is everybody then, you know, kind of revolves around that one person. But for us, it was all of us.
Yeah,
so you never could
family.
Really get the big head too much because everybody was going through the same thing you
that's
were going
cool.
through.
So. Yeah, and then generally thinking of whether it's Willie Robertson or Phil or anybody else in your family, and the word diva just never really kind of went together because you guys maintain just that's where you're from, that's who you are, and which is awesome. Now, do you have a background with FCA? Willie, were you involved in FCA when you were in school?
I was in FCA when I was in school, so I was not as gifted as my father, for sure not physically much. I got mom kind of stunned us there with the height and body type. So we, you know, Phil was, you know, this tall, like 6'3", and, you know, was a real good athlete. And probably the best athlete of all of us was probably Jace for sure. But I played more stuff than Jace. I played high school basketball, and I ended up playing high school soccer, which was hilarious because I still don't know how to play soccer. I was on the first team we ever had.
That's
played soccer, so I tried that out. I did play football in ninth grade, opening kickoff, first game of the year. Now, back then, ninth grade was still considered junior high, not high school.
Right.
I was a quarterback, and I was pretty fast, and so I took the opening kickoff first game of the year after all the two-a-days and everything. Dude hit me right in my knee, broke my kneecap, and I was in a cast the next day.
So
that wrapped up the football career, and I went to basketball. But I participated in FCS and FCA, and since then I've spoken at a lot of FCA events around the country, and still even do FCA events even here locally.
What is it about FCA for you, Willie? We've got about a minute and 20 seconds left, but what is it about FCA that you're willing to leverage your platform, get in there, and be a part of what they're doing? Why do you support the ministry of Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
Well, I do because it's a great ministry. I've hung around with a lot of professional athletes now because of the show, and a lot of Christian athletes. It's still a profession that is that, and a lot who need that. You know, a lot who need even in their 30s. You know, who are lacking. They have money, they have fame, but they're lacking something, and they're looking for that something of what that is. And so I think it's a great, you know, avenue, because so much of Christianity goes with team sports, and it goes with, you know, a lot of the same ideas, you know, about being unselfish, not being all about yourself. And so that's why you can teach a lot of lessons just through sports, you know, with the way Christ lived his life.
Yeah, that's a great point. Willie, thanks so much we're up against the break, but thanks so much for calling in. Look forward to meeting you 2 weeks from today. It's going
to
be awesome.
Thank you, Willie.
God bless you. Thanks, Willie, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
see you. Bye. There you go. The one, the only, Willie Robertson. Just hilarious, and they're so down home. I appreciate that about them, always have. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jay Vavirka, talk some more about FCA, what's going on with them, and what can happen in your life with FCA, and especially the event coming up on Tuesday, November 20th here in Raleigh. Okay, sorry to disappoint you. It's just me and Jay. Willie Robertson is back to shooting stuff or whatever he's doing. That was really cool to have my Jay Vavirka is here with me in the studio. Triangle Metro Area Director with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which FCA is all over the country, in fact, all over the world. So the fact that we're talking about some things here in Raleigh, this is a ministry that God has grown to have literally an international reach. And it's just incredible. But I thought Willie, Jay, was just funny, normal.
Yeah, he's just rolling with it.
Just rolling with a guy from Louisiana.
Yeah, showing what the platform looks like for him these days and how sports has played a role, and thankful for his continued involvement in FCA.
Yeah, because that started when he was in high school, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, that really threw me, because they're Louisiana, that they had soccer in a high school in Louisiana. That just doesn't – I'm like, what, for target practice? What
Maybe
is that?
Maybe not on the not top 10 sports center highlight.
No, I wouldn't think so. A bunch of Louisiana guys, but I guess if they chase the ball down the field and all of a sudden see a duck, they can stop and shoot.
Or a gator.
Yeah, or a gator.
Who knows?
Right, but that was really cool. I appreciate it. He's going to be great when he comes to town.
I'm so looking forward
to it. Yeah, because they're quote-unquote a normal family.
Yep.
And that's just, like you said, not any one of them were like the big star. Of course, I think most of us would say he was the biggest one on the show, but it was just so cool to hear from him. He's a normal guy from Louisiana that they probably, other than their pocketbooks, I don't think they've been affected much by their fame.
Yeah, it seems like the Lord has been kind, and they've remained grounded.
Yeah, really cool. So if you're here in the Triangle area, you can be a part of that. Come here, Willie, speak at the FCA banquet. That's Tuesday, November 20th, 6:30 p.m. on the State Fairgrounds, NC State Fairgrounds, which were everybody in North Carolina. If you don't know where the fairgrounds are, then you have to renounce your citizenship. At the Expo Building, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, November 20th. And the phone number, because who would they sit with? So if they call, so the phone number, if you want to be a part of that event, 919-848-4646, 919-848-4646. And then, like, who are they going to sit with? I'm sure people are sitting there going, I don't want to sit next to a stranger, but
yeah,
you should if you're
a
Christ follower.
If you call that number, Alex Thompson, our director of operations, will take your call and walk you through the process. The first level is really a table host. A table host is $250. It's a table that seats 8 folks, and you have the opportunity then as the host to invite potential ministry financial partners to sit at your table with you. If being a table host is not something you're interested in, that's fine. Have a conversation with Alex about what it looks like to attend as a non-table host. We do have individual seating, so to speak. We don't charge tickets.
Yeah.
But we do encourage you. It is a financial fundraiser.
Sure.
This is the night that allows us to do ministry every other night of the year. And we encourage a minimum suggested donation of $150.
And so when FCA is on campus, and I asked you this question off the air, I wanted to ask, because they're Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but it's not just for student athletes.
It's not. That's right. We get that question a lot, is who can come to this? And it's a club that's open to any student that attends that school. For groups that meet under the umbrella of like an AAU or a travel baseball league, anybody is welcome to come to that. But on the school campus, it's open to any student.
And what actually happens on campus? Because I know there's huddles. I know I've known huddle coaches. Yeah. So kind of the structure and what's happening.
Yeah, there's three different types of huddles that we see on campus. The first is the traditional, what we call a multi-sport huddle, where any student can come, any athlete can come and be a part of that. That is student-led, student-initiated, so the meeting is run by students. It's attended by a representative of the school that we call a huddle coach. They would call it a sponsor. We call it a huddle coach. And that person is there to make sure kids aren't hanging from the lights
right.
and spray painting on the wall. But
they don't
necessarily participate in the meeting. But the students run it. They read the Word of God. They pray. They might have a speaker come in, or one of the students might do a devotional. So it really helps them develop some leadership skills, take ownership of this group,
yeah.
and see it as a means by which they can reach their peers.
What was it about FCA that when God kind of opened this door for you, Jay, to be a part of it, that you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have been serving in local church ministry for years and felt a little bit, I love the local church, not an indictment at all in the local church, but I felt like I was a step back from the front lines in some ways. And this opened the door for me to be in schools, communicating with students, working with volunteers, and working with coaches, because I know that coaches in my life, they had an influence on
me.
Huge
impact.
And I know my boys now are getting to the age where they start having coaches, and I see the potential for the influence yeah. that they can have in their lives. So stepping into this role was just a way for me to kind of engage that world. I love sports. I'm a sports guy. I don't look like much and didn't do much.
You got gray hair.
That's right. That's right. No helmets on this head. But it was a way for me to step into that arena and begin to coach people on living it. I have a real passion to see folks live out their faith where they are.
Yeah.
Whatever arena God has called
you to. In the context of their everyday life.
Whether that's a businessman or someone who's involved in the arts, or in our case, it's sports. We want followers of Jesus Christ living out their faith and making Christ known.
Now, I think a lot of us probably would struggle to be optimistic, if you will, yeah. about what can happen on a high school campus. But what kind of things have you seen in terms of God working through FCA there? Because a lot of us go, we're a homeschool family, and we're like, well, you only send your kids to public high school if you yeah. don't love them and you don't love Jesus. And of course, I'm being nutty, but still, we often think there's nothing good spiritually going on a high school campus.
Right. Yeah, we do get that a lot. And a couple of things I've seen. One, a few years ago, I was on a middle school campus, and this group had grown to about 100 students.
Wow.
And this young lady came up to me after the group and said, hey, I've been praying for a friend of mine, and I'm meeting with her later this week to tell her about Jesus. And can I have one of those FCA Bibles? We have an FCA Bible that we produce, got the Word of God in it, but then it also has a number of resources in the front and in the back that help students share the gospel, begin to take new steps in their faith. It's got devotions in there that they can do. And so we put a Bible in her hand. She took that and she went and she shared the gospel wow. with a friend. Now, I don't know how that friend responded, but it was neat to come across a young lady on a middle school campus who said, you know what, this is mine, and I'm going to go take this and share this yeah. with someone that I love, a friend of mine, a peer. We had an event called Fields of Faith a couple of weeks ago at Wake Forest High School. About 500 people from the community
wow,
showed
really?
Up to sit and listen and participate in worship and hear student testimony about what God has done Man. In their life. Dr. Scott Pace from up this way shared the gospel, and folks responded. So really, I mean, God is doing great things on local campuses. It's so neat to see, both in that multi-sport huddle and then the other two huddles, the team huddle, where a student says, I'm going to start a group on my team, football team, soccer team, whatever it might be, or a coach's huddle where a coach says, I need to reach my fellow coaches yeah. with the gospel. I'm going to start a Bible study right here at the school, coach's huddle.
Yeah, it's so cool. And back to your point earlier about kind of switching lanes and being in the local church and then going to something like FCA. There's a lot of people that would never come to a church.
That's right.
But they'll show up. They'll show up on campus, right. and they'll come to an FCA meeting.
That's right.
And especially if a friend. So do you have a lot yeah. of that kind of word-of-mouth friends bringing friends?
Yeah, we're constantly encouraging our students. Listen, we don't want this to be a small group Bible study.
Yeah.
this is something for you to go out and engage your peers and bring them, because they may not step foot in your church, but they'll come here, and they might come for the donuts.
Yeah.
Right? They might come
kind
for
of
the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's a neutral facility, too.
But they'll stick around, and they'll hear the gospel, and they'll respond to it.
So what will happen? Again, we've got the big event coming up here in the Triangle area, Triangle, North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, Tuesday, November 20th at 6:30 p.m., Expo Building at the NC State Fairgrounds. The phone number, if you want a table host, you can host a table. It's only $250. You have 8 seats there that can be friends and family. Just give the local office a call. 919-848-4646 is the number, 919-848-4646. But what's going to happen that night?
Yeah, we'll have a number of stories of impact from locally what's happening here in the Triangle. Obviously, Willie will speak. He'll have a good portion of that time. We'll have a number of our student athletes and coaches there serving and being a part of the program.
Oh, yeah,
so
cool.
You can see them. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll cast some vision for where we're going. It's an exciting season here with Triangle FCA and where we're going. And we're going to share some of that with you on that night.
So in a city like the Triangle, Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, where it's total population, if you pull the whole thing in, it's about 1.4, 1.5 million. What's the scope here locally in terms of high schools, middle schools, and how many students involved?
Yeah, I oversee a 12-county area that's got a little over 2 million people in it. Over 275 middle schools, high schools, and colleges that have sports programs in that area. Obviously, it includes the major universities,
yeah,
NC State, Duke, Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is actually where FCA started in North Carolina. Dr. Danny Lotz back in 1958,
yep,
4 years after FCA started.
You might
started.
Not know who Danny Lotz is, but I guarantee you know who his wife
That's
is.
Right.
His wife is Ann Graham Lotz, Billy's
right.
daughter, and Danny's been on the show. Ann's been on the show several times. And yeah, he was the guy with
he
FCA.
Was the guy,
he helped start
yeah.
it.
That's
Chapel
right.
Hill. That's so cool.
We've got about 125 groups that meet in those 275 high schools and middle schools and colleges. So a lot going on. Our role is to support and encourage and equip those volunteers that are out there doing it every day, and it's a privilege to do it.
So middle school, high school, and college.
And college.
Domestically. And then what's going on internationally?
Yeah, we're in over 60 countries.
Wow.
Everything from coaches ministry going on in those countries to camp ministry going on in those countries. So sport is an international language, right? If you've ever been on a mission trip, there's always seems to be a sport element because it translates well. That's the team from America going to some country and getting beat by soccer by 8-year-old kids, right?
Right. Yeah,
so we just see that platform of sport being that universal language and having the opportunity to equip and encourage believers in those countries. We don't send missionaries over there to start FCA in those countries. We find local believers who are already doing sport ministry, and we say, how can we come alongside you and help equip you in what you're doing?
It's always got to be the indigenous
that's
people.
Right.
Whether that's third world or second world or first world, doesn't
right.
matter, but the people that are there on the ground. If you happen to be in the Raleigh area, Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, the website here is an easy one, trianglefca.org. If you want to find out anything outside of North Carolina, you can go to the main website, which is just fca.org. And if you want to host a table at the event on Tuesday, November 20th, 848-4646, 919-848-4646 for the FCA event with Willie Robinson. Jay, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're welcome.
Good to be here.
Okay, friends, when we come back, you knew I was going to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Try that one on for size. If you're cheering, I'll try to forgive you. If you're not, then you get it. But that's literally the stakes. And the odds are that the Republicans will hold the Senate as we go through this evening and as we push into the wee hours of the morning. And some races are, we might not even know all of them tonight. That would not be abnormal. But the Senate looks like, from a Republican standpoint, looks like it's pretty safe. But the House does not. The House most likely is going to flip. Now, that is not an abnormal thing. And off your elections, more often than not, and by a significant margin, the party that's out of power in the House will flip. That happened to Obama, and he lost like 80 seats. And so right now, if you lose like 40 or about 50, that all of a sudden you're going to see control of the House flip from the Republicans to the Democrats. And it's going to be very interesting to see if, in fact, that happens, what Donald Trump does with that. What does President Trump do with that? Because he is, whether you like him or not, I think he's an effective negotiator. And he plays by a different set of rules, if you can call him that, than most other politicians do. So it'll be really interesting for him to use the bully pulpit. And you can bet if all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi and others are in charge of the House, it's going to get brutal. But again, the odds are saying that it will flip and be controlled by the Democrats before we wake up tomorrow. Certainly, I'll talk about this ad nauseum on tomorrow's show. But didn't we kind of say that? Weren't we kind of expecting that 2 years ago? 2 years ago, all the odds makers were, it was Hillary Clinton. That's pretty much a done deal. 80, 88%, 90%. And it's funny, if you ever want to spend some time on YouTube watching the reaction of liberal commentators that night as states started to fall. When Florida fell, then you got into Pennsylvania, you get into traditionally blue states and Michigan and Wisconsin, and they start going for Trump, and people were just losing their minds. They were so shocked because the polling, I think there were a lot of people that weren't willing to admit that they were going to vote for Donald Trump and did. And so you had this whole shocker 2 years ago on election night when my son was in town, and he's down in Orlando now, but we both fell asleep down in the family room, and I woke up. I remember it was like 3 a.m. or something. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at Mike Pence up there. And I'm like, it sounds like some kind of an acceptance speech. And I wake my son up. I'm like, Hayden, I think Donald Trump won. He's like, what? No way. And way. That's exactly what happened. So I am not going to predict, and if I were a betting guy, I wouldn't be putting money down on what's going to happen in the House tonight, because I just don't think you can predict these things anymore. And exit polling, because the early voting numbers have been so massive, exit polling doesn't do squat. You're going to hear about it for the rest of the night. Don't believe any of it. And for some of you that are further west, if you're listening and you're in Indianapolis, if you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, if you're all the way out there listening in San Francisco and even in Hawaii, I'm telling you, I'm just encouraging you and challenging you. If you happen to be a conservative and you're voting conservative, as this thing sweeps from east to west, there's hours and hours before your polling closes. Do not believe everything you're hearing in the media. It's not over until the proverbial fat lady sings, right? So as you hear things coming from the East Coast, if you're in the middle of the country or you're out there in Albuquerque listening on Wilkins Radio or you're on KDIA and you're in San Francisco, and you don't give up. If you're a conservative and you're thinking, oh, no, it's over, don't believe that. Remember the source. Most of the media wants this to go a certain direction. They want the House to flip. That's what they want. That's personally where they're invested. So as you pay attention to that, and maybe you shouldn't pay attention at all, don't get a false sense of security and don't lose hope. If you're a conservative, I'm just speaking directly to you, and you're further west, I would encourage you and challenge you over the next few hours. Don't pay a whole lot of attention to the news you hear out of the East Coast, because that will shut you down, and that's there for a reason. They will do that in order to suppress the vote. They may not show up like the Black Panthers do and scare the tar out of people and walk around with guns, and that's actually happened already. But that kind of news, we all sit there and go, ah, forget it, it doesn't even matter. Yes, it does, and especially in the House. The interesting thing is the House is up for re-election every 2 years. All 435 members of the House are up every 2 years. Do you know why that is? Just a little constitutional lesson. In the Senate, our founding fathers put some more distance between them and the voting people, the electorate. They put more distance, more stability every 6 years. So you're not always running. That's why in the House of Representatives, where do you think every tax bill originates? If the U.S. government wants to take your money, it has to start in the House, because that's where the idea originates. If they're going to take more money, if they're going to tax, they're going to do something along those lines. It has to start. It has to come up in the House. Why? Because we can get to them every 2 years, and all of them. Right now, this year, there's only about a third of the Senate that's up for re-election, but the entire House every 2 years. The downside of that is they're always running. And so you've always got that problem. Incumbents win almost about 88, 89% of the time. Incumbents win. They win because they already have a political machine back home. They also have a staff that's bought and paid for up in Washington, D.C. In the Senate, they have a staff of about 40. In the House, they have a staff of about 15 to 18. So they've got all that infrastructure there already, which is why so many incumbents win. In an off-year election, interestingly enough, in the United States history, when you have a Republican in the White House, oftentimes you'll see the House of Representatives flip if they had that party. Oftentimes you'll see it, because there's this strange thing in American politics and in the culture itself where you kind of like parity. You kind of, well, if there's some Republicans over there, then there's some Democrats over there, and that seems to be kind of a balance, and that's kind of good. That's not good anymore, because the agendas at play, especially on the left, are so radical. They're so liberal. There's so much secular humanism, postmodernism in the left, that it's just getting worse all the time. So the thing that's challenging or frustrating to me is that every 2 years, this is the most consequential election in U.S. history, right? We hear that every time. But the stakes are going up because the positions are getting more radical. The difference is getting more radical. And on the left especially. Now, on the right, I have a lot of problems with the Republican Party, especially up in Washington, D.C., namely that they talk a big pro-life game, but they're not getting much done on a federal level at all, i.e. Planned Parenthood will get $550 million this year. And as bad as that is, this is where I'm very pragmatic. I re-registered a couple years ago. I'm a registered independent. But I will never will, vote for a member of the Democrat Party simply because their orthodoxy, their party platform in writing, number one, endorses enthusiastically and supports and funds child murder in the womb, otherwise known as abortion, right? Not the right to choose. It's not women's reproductive health. It's murder of the unborn. And because they support that as a platform, that's their orthodoxy. I mean, that's in writing. That, as well as kind of the radical nature of family and now gender, all that's in there. But specifically on the life issue. On the Republican side, I don't have a problem with anything in their orthodoxy. I have a problem with some of their orthopraxy, the way they try to do things. But I don't have a problem with their orthodoxy. And so for me, I always start as a one-issue voter. And I go from there. Which for me, which is why I can't, with my conscience, I cannot ever support a member of the Democrat Party, even if they're pro-life. Because I'm going to say, yeah, but you're still flying underneath a flag that's soaked in the blood of the unborn. And I can't go there with you. You might be a God-fearer. You might love the Lord. You might be born again. But because that's a big part of their platform and they protect it as if it was their own lives, I can't go there. I can't give them my vote. Now I'm not naive. I don't think the Republican Party is the party of Jesus. Jesus never ran for office. He's already a king and he doesn't need your vote. So I don't mix those two together. But that's where I come down on this issue. So every year, every 2 years when I'm voting, I always start there. By the way, if you're in Wake County, if you live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you need to know who to vote for, if you want a little help with that, just go to my Facebook page. I tell people every 2 years. That's how I honor my Chicago heritage. And I cast hundreds of votes every 2 years because people ask me for my opinion, and you know me well enough, I share it. So if you're here in the Raleigh area, but let me just say something to you. If you're not registered, you might live. There's a couple states where you can go register and vote on the same day. But let me make that my case with you, just with 2 minutes left, of why I think if you don't vote today, if you can be registered or if you're registered already and you don't vote, I think you're flat out sinning. Now, let me make this case for you biblically. First of all, when they ask Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? They're trying to trick him, right? Get him to put one above the other. So he does an end around like he always did. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the United States of America, everything that happens in our government, both local, state, and federal, literally affects everybody. It affects everybody. And so if you don't get engaged with that, then I think what you're saying is I don't really care what happens to my neighbor. I don't care what happens with our spending, which is a deeply moral issue. And we're so far in the red on immorality and our spending in this country and what we're doing to our children and grandchildren and their grandchildren. To stand by and do nothing is indefensible. Because what you're saying is, oh, I don't care. Well, what don't you care about? You don't care about your neighbor. And that's a clear violation of Jesus's call in the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. Whether your neighbor thinks your biblical worldview is good for them or not, it is. God's truth is good for everybody. So for you to sit on that, that's like, let's go back to the parable of the talents, right? One guy's given one guy's given five, another guy's given 10. Those that invested wisely, they were rewarded, come into your father's kingdom, and I'll give you more. But the guy that buried it, who did nothing with it, what happened to him? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because he did nothing with his talent. In the United States of America, friend, your vote is a talent. Your vote is something that needs to be invested. And so I think you have a biblical obligation. If you're in a state where you can register today and vote today, you need to do that. And then oftentimes over the last 10 or 15 years, like, oh, vote your values. I'm like, no, 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 no. Don't vote your values. Your values are all messed up and sinful just like mine. Vote biblical values. And a lot of those are really obvious. So I think you have a biblical mandate to get out today before the polls close and vote. And if you don't vote, I think it's obviously a sin. And if you don't vote, then you can't complain about anything that happens in the next 2 years because you're a part of the problem. You're a part of the problem. If you're a conservative, and I think you need to be politically, and you don't vote, you're not a part of that, you just kind of sidestep it. And in a couple of days, Nancy Pelosi's talking about being the new Speaker of the House. And everything that goes with that and all the progress I think we've made in the last 2 years as a nation, that's all going to disappear. And it would disappear because people like, well, you. So get out there and vote. Vote biblical values. It's not too late. Don't pay attention to the media. And let's make sure we're staying in prayer, because no matter what happens tonight, God's still on the throne. This is Steve Noble. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.